If we try to defend our self-reliant and self-sufficient tendencies and thereby save and sanctify ourselves, we'll be defeated, even in our apparent success. The only defense is to be rooted and built up and established in Christ, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body is nourished and knit together and grows with a growth that is from God. Andrew McLaren said it like this: there's only one thing that'll put the collar on the neck of the animal within us, and that is the power of the indwelling Christ within us. If you're going to experience life change and transformation, you'll never experience it by trying to transform and grow yourself, by trying to be religious, or by doing this or not doing that. You need something different. Not something more, not something in addition to, something different, something greater that penetrates deeper with the supernatural power to bring about transformation. And let me tell you, Christ alone possesses this power, not legalism. You see, legalism is a code of conduct that goes beyond the Bible. Verse 22, according to human precepts and teachings. An example of a precept is drive 40 kilometers an hour. An example of a principle, however, is drive carefully. One is crystal clear: go this speed. The other allows you to be discerning and to engage your heart. You've got to assess the weather conditions and determine if it's too rainy or if it's too foggy to see. Take modesty, for example. Modesty is certainly a biblical principle. A legalist would say, okay, you can only wear these types of clothes and you can only show this much skin, and so on. They take a biblical principle and they apply their own judgment to it, and then they create a code of conduct that goes beyond what the Bible says. It makes conforming to the code critical to being a real Christian. And ultimately, the poison of legalism is that it creates exclusivity based on standards that are not from God. It makes you judgmental. In this example, it makes you the modesty police. You take your eyes off of Christ and you put it onto yourself and onto everyone else. You start looking around and judging, determining who's in and who's out. Hey, Susie, great job on the length of that skirt this morning. Hey, sweetie, you're showing just a little too much arm, right? It sets us up as judge. And who are we to judge? We become a gatekeeper that keeps people from the grace of God because you're throwing all kinds of stumbling blocks and hurdles in the way of them seeing the cross of Christ. Because you've taken the scripture and you've gone beyond it. And having created a code of conduct, now you're trying to enforce the rules. How many of you have ever met someone like that? I see some elbows. When someone takes their experience and their non-essential convictions and tries to make it the norm or the standard for all believers, that's legalism. It's not Christianity. And Paul says, look, not only is it foolishness and of no value, but it's incredibly dangerous and destructive. Run from it. It's not from God. He says, you're complete in Christ. What else could you possibly need? You're complete. And you're free from the dominion of anyone except Christ. You're free from being dominated by other people and their experiences. And the problem with legalism is that people who are guilty of it, they feel spiritual. The spiritually proud person feels religious. Family, we must all ask the Lord to show us if we in any way have these tendencies. None of us should just assume that this is a message for others. But it may very well be for us. Which is why Paul has spent so much time in this letter drawing our hearts to the doctrine and the person of Christ. Family, man-made rules and regulations do not work. But Jesus Christ works every time. Amen. As we close, I want to give you four questions to consider between you and God. Number one, are you sure? Are you really, really sure that you've trusted in Christ alone for salvation? Not talking about how long you've been attending church or what all you've done. You see, my concern here is that there's all kinds of people that are walking around the cross, but never stopping to bow down in front of it. They're close. They're close to the cross, but they're embracing religion, not a savior. So are you sure? Are you sure that you've trusted in Jesus alone for eternal life? Number two, are you more concerned with pleasing others or pleasing God? And this is one of those reasons that legalism is so insidious, because we all have a people-pleasing gene within us. We like to be liked. We like to have the approval of others. And legalism will lead you into people-pleasing, being more concerned with pleasing others than pleasing Christ. Number three, are you worn out in your walk with Christ? I watch some of you. You come in here on Sunday and you're like, it's been a long week. Some of you are so worn out. You're just worn out. You've been working and working and working and burning the candle at both ends all week long. Why won't you just rest? It's so easy to make Christianity more about what we're doing than about what the one who did all the work has done. Are you worn out? Are you resting in Christ? Rest is very important to our Lord and King. And number four, do you often secretly evaluate other people? I'm not going to ask anyone to raise their hand. You see what kind of pants he was wearing? You see how short that skirt was? You see what book he was reading? You see what she was eating or what she was drinking at the restaurant the other night? You better check yourself. Unless you're judging things that are outward and observable in sin, then that behavior of evaluating others and judging others like that is sin. Legalism creates a holier-than-thou elitism that is dangerous to the entire body of Christ. There is no one, hear me, family, there is no one in this room that is more important than anyone else in this room. Regardless of what they wear or don't wear, where they go or don't go, what they eat and drink or don't eat and drink, and the list goes on and on. Listen to this, family. I want you to hear this. Two statements, and then I'll close. You can't do anything. You can't do anything to get God to love you more. Why? Because he's already demonstrated his love for you at the cross. He loves you without any conditions at all. And it's literally impossible for him to love you any more than he already does. So you can get off your religion treadmill of performance and rest in Christ. And number two, you've never done anything to cause God to love you less. You're saying there's nothing I've ever done. Do you know what I've done to cause God to love me less? That's exactly what I'm saying. How? Grace. Family. Grace. Don't let anyone intimidate you or manipulate you with their rigorous, legalistic lifestyle. Don't let anyone judge you or dangle a secret knowledge or experience over your head that makes you feel lesser than and unworthy. Don't let them do that. Just keep clinging to Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Let's pray and thank God for these incredible truths. What an incredible privilege it is to be known and loved by you. Oh God, we thank you this morning for the truth and the simplicity of your word. We are complete in you, Lord Jesus. Nothing else. There's nothing else that exists, and there's nothing else that will ever exist that could possibly make us more complete than we are when you call us and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Our salvation and our completion and our growth and our maturity all come from you and you alone. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to fully embrace you and your grace this morning. Don't let anyone here be intimidated or manipulated by those who seem real smart or seem to have it all together that are saying that there's something more. Just do this. Just do that. I pray that that would cause our spiritual antennas to go up and recognize it as dangerous and destructive. What a joy it is that we do not have to work to obtain salvation. That it's not up to us to work and earn approval and greater holiness, but rather it's up to you. And as a result, we can truly rest in we thank you for your love, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you that you promise to work in us a continually sanctifying growth in holiness as we hold fast to you. We love you so much, and it's in your most precious name that we pray.